my friends, and welcome to a new episode of Horse Friends. My name is Selina Skogan, and today I am welcoming you all alone. That's a new situation for me, so I am hoping I'm finding a flow for a podcast all on my own. I have been thinking about it and I've discussing it with myself, but I have decided that in the end, I would also like to comment on this horrible video that we are recently seeing on social media that is showing a rider on Olympic level during a teaching session hitting a horse. Why do I feel that I need to comment on it? Naya, if you're thinking that everything was set already, that is, yeah, nearly true. What I feel I can like to add to the discussion is that I am on the one hand grateful for videos like this to come up, because it is very, very clearly showing that neither the public nor the average spare time rider, and also not the average competition rider, is willing to tolerate practices like this anymore in the horse world. And that I'm taking as a very good sign. And especially with the young people, I feel that their wish for harmony and their wish for communication with horses is getting bigger and bigger, and is also proportionally growing due to the knowledge that we have accessible nowadays. And that is something that I'm really, really grateful for. I'm also really grateful for videos like this coming up, because we see that a certain group of people can't do what they want anymore. There's always somebody who's having, you know, a little phone or a little something, and there is the risk of it going public and going viral. Now, it's not only everywhere over social media, but it is also in The Guardian, it is also in the British television, it's also in the German television, and so on and so on, meaning the discussion is carried out to a wider range of people. And interesting is that people who are not riders are even more shocked about these techniques than people who are riders. And that is a point where we also have to have a look at the human perspective, independent of if we like the riding style and independent of do we like what people are doing with their horses, yes or no. I always feel in all these discussions, we should not lose humanity. And humanity means also that people, riding teachers, are learning from a teacher and are copying what their peers are doing. So, and when we are seeing Charlotte here hitting a horse with a very long whip, don't get me wrong, it's definitely wrong. It's definitely a faulty method. And we can definitely see when she's doing it that she's losing her temper. And now the butt comes in. Yes, she's losing her temper. And yes, that is not okay when we are training horses. And yes, of course, all of us have lost their temper in situations, yeah, that are not appropriate or have been leading to behavior that is not appropriate. That should not be an excuse. But I also would like you to consider that the technique that she is using there is actually a classic technique. And that is what scares me. And that is also where I think that it's really time to overthink training methods, and it's showing us very clearly that people are still not aware of equine communication, of equine health, of equine pain signals, stress signals, and so on and so on. Because this technique of attaching hind feet with a whip is very widespread and commonly done. Is it wrong? If you're asking me, yes, it's wrong. but you will find a lot of other classical trainers that will tell you that has to be done in a less rough way, in a way that is maybe more applying learning theory, but that has to be done to make a horse in collection lift or teach the horse to lift the feet out of the ground. Why is that done? So the classical training idea is that bending haunches is building up strength, and that bending haunches and getting the horse also to lift the haunches is adding the idea of equine health. At the latest, when we are looking at that video, we are very clear that this is not adding equine health. And on the other hand, I'm still not against bending haunches. I am collecting myself. I'm working with school halls. I'm working with Piaf. I'm working with Terre-à-Terre. There is absolutely nothing wrong with it. What is wrong, though, is when we are using this technique for making a horse lift the feet out of the ground. Because we have to look a little bit, you know, we have to look a little bit further. We have to ask, if we have to train that, why isn't the horse lifting up the feet by nature? So where's the error in the training there? And that has two possible answers. Either we are training a horse beyond their limitations. We are collecting more than the horse can go forward, the more that the horse has energy. And then touching the hind feet for lifting them out of the ground will not make a difference. So maybe we could scare the horse, but has it learned something? No. The only thing it might have learned is that somebody with a whip is coming from behind. Should be a moment where it should be careful. Is it a solution to the problem? No. The only solution to the problem would be that the rider is riding more forward, so that the rider is releasing the frame again, or that the rider is giving the hand forward. Is it building up muscles? No, because if the horse is not lifting the feet out of free will anymore out of the ground, we are beyond its abilities. And everybody who has been trying to, you know, when the muscles are already trembling, to do a little bit more and to do that for, yeah, to several more repetitions or several more rounds, well, no, it's not possible. You will get weaker and weaker. So from whatever perspective we are looking at it, it doesn't make sense. It doesn't make any sense. Even not if we are using the whip much more sensible than it was done there, even not if we are using the whip as, you know, an index finger. It's often advocated that the whip is an index finger, and I'm also using the whip as an index finger, but that just helps us if we want to show something to the horse within its abilities, not beyond its abilities. I think that is a very, very important factor that we need to understand. Still, I see this technique on nearly an everyday basic among very, very, very many trainers, also classical trainers, to be done. The last time I have seen it in public was in Vienna in the riding school. We had a few horses that were not lifting their feet out of the ground in a collected trot clean. And then eventually the trainer was walking next to the horse with a very long whip and we're making tuck, tuck, tuck. And for a couple of steps, it worked. And the moment the trainer stopped touching the horse with the whip, there it was done politely, but still the horse fell back into the old pattern. Also, because as I just said, it's not possible to change that because the failure is somewhere else in the system. The failure is in maybe a hand that is holding too much, compressing the spine. The failure is in working beyond limitations. The failure is in a too narrow frame. The failure is in too little strength and too little preparation in. Yeah, fill in the blank. In. There are so many possible mistakes, but the solution is never making the horse lift the hind leg more with a mechanical stimuli. The other reason why horses don't lift the hind feet on free will out of the ground is very simple, and that is pain. And pain means the horse is lame in one way or the other. It's showing a lameness. It's showing something, a more or less subtle lameness. And also here, And then the horse is going into a hypercompensation, so into a compensatory movement or into a compensatory posture. And one of these compensatory postures is to drag the hind feet or to not lift them, to keep the joint stiff. Usually the joint that is hurting is kept stiff, or the leg that is hurting is kept stiff. And then you see the toe dragging in behind. So I'm asking you here, is the touching of the whip then appropriate? So will it help? Will it help, however politely we are, however nicely we are working on the stimuli, however much we are applying learning theory for, you know, what you can do? We can apply learning theory for teaching the horse. If I'm pointing at this, please lift it up. But will it help? Will it change the cause? Of course not. If the horse is lame, if the horse is protecting a joint due to pain, making it lift that hind leg more will not make the pain disappear. It will just move the gait abnormality. So the gait abnormality will then come in a different pattern, right? So what I'm saying here is, yes, what she's doing in this moment is wrong, but let's take that also as a chance to overthink the practice of using a whip on the horse's hind legs, however polite we are doing it, for making it lift or bend the haunches more, and think about why is the horse not lifting the hind legs out of free will. And I think this is a very, very important factor that we should not underrate. And that is something that is also important, not only when we are looking at top dressage levels, but when we are looking out here in the stables in front of the door. Because it's sad to be said, but I see much more horse abuse out there every day when I'm going out treating, when I'm going out teaching, when I'm, you know, when I'm just among horse people in a very average riding stable. I'm seeing horses that are locked in boxes that are 3x3. Oh no, it's not allowed anymore. 3x4 meters, what is simply much too small and simply just wrong for an animal like this. I'm seeing horses that are standing alone on their field if they are allowed to go out and have daylight at all. I see horses that are on so restrictive diets that they can only get stressed and sick by it. I see horses with a pain face. You can just open e-horses, open Facebook, and try to find one without. And you are very welcome to send me a picture if you find a horse without pain face, because I'm not seeing so many of them. And I am seeing horses that are fat into laminitis, that are fed into, you know, where the food is simply not species appropriate in both directions, too little and too much. I see trainers who have never heard of physiology. I see also classical dressage trainers, yeah, just as a little side note, that is not depending on the riding philosophy, that is just a general problem. I see many, many horses that are showing pain signals, that are showing lameness to every average training. And I have many, many students, or many of my students will tell you that when they came to me and said, I have a problem with my shoulder in, or I have a problem with my seat, or can you help me to develop this or that better? I had a look at the horse, and after a couple of lessons, I said, yeah, we can work on that. But the real problem is somewhere very, very different. And I think we should tackle that down first. And of course, we can't expect every trainer to, you know, do what I'm doing and spend their whole life researching for what's new in the equine world, what has science done. But what we can expect them to do is to cooperate with a network of professionals. What we can expect trainers and riders to do is to know at least so much that they know whom to ask. What we can also expect trainers, riders, also physiotherapists, also veterinarians to do is that they are using online offers, for example, at least online offers for educating themselves. I mean, just this year, just at the start of the year, we have been with Equidemia, we have been raising a huge summit about pain and rehabilitation. And it was mind-blowing because we have been debugging a lot of myths that is out there. And still, I have, when I'm sending a student to a veterinarian and say, I would like you to have a look at that. I would like you to, oh, I don't feel comfortable with training that for my taste. The horse is giving too many pain signals. I still experience that we have other professionals in the industry who don't mind training the student anyway, who, if they're a vet, don't even see what the problem is. Sometimes they don't even touch the horse. Sometimes they just look at it from the other side of the fence, and say, ah, the horse has nothing. And that, of course, then is opening the door for abusive techniques. And I think that's a very, very important perspective to have when we are looking at these techniques. Because when we are looking again at the human factor, when we are looking again at how can it happen that we are losing our temper so much, that we are kind of getting so aggressive towards an animal. Now, that is usually the lack of self-control, right? And fear and anger and everything that is growing then inside ourselves can be very, very powerful. It makes us lose our mind. It makes us lose our ability very often to use the prefrontal cortex first and to think about what we are doing. And how can that again happen? Apart from neuroscience, what is not our topic here, how can that happen? That usually happens when we feel not good enough, when we feel exposed to a situation that we can't handle. That can happen if we are led by bad examples, meaning most likely she has experienced one of her trainers to use exactly that technique. They were just smart enough to not get caught. That is not justifying it. There is no justification for abusive training techniques, but it makes it more understandable how it can happen. And I think that if we want to change something for the benefit of the horse, for the respect of dressage also, we need to take the human factor into account, and we need to practice kindness. I mean, remember the last Olympic Games, the ones before now, where we had this poor girl who was jumping with, or not jumping, with this horse in her last test, and her trainer was screaming at her, whip him and hit him. Everybody was kind of, aggressively falling over her after or during the Olympic Games. And in the end, even the discipline got canceled. Yes, of course, it was horrible what we saw there, but it's also horrible to experience the pressure, the helplessness in that the human was that was leading to these actions. So my point is, I think we need to get more humanity into the sports. And it's also there, I experience that when I'm having students, they are very often very stressed when they start writing for me. They are very often in this mood of needing to show something, needing to prove something, needing to, pretend to be something and proving everybody how good they can deal with their oh so problematic horse. And I think that the problems are starting there. I think that if you are having a teacher, you should be able to build up a trusting relationship. And if you can't show mistakes, and if you can't in front of your teacher, who else shall help you? If you are busy with sugarcoating all the errors, all the pitfalls, all the questions that you are having because you're scared to blame yourself in front of your teacher, where is the safe environment where you can do that? On Facebook? I don't think so. On Instagram? Not so sure. How good is and professional is the advice that you're getting there? And all that is leading me to the point that we as teachers, we are carrying a huge responsibility. And a part of this responsibility is to allow our students to, yeah, kind of offload a part of their worries on us. And that it is a part of our responsibility to create safe environments for discussion. And it's a little bit like with having children, you know. I feel that a part of my job is also to teach my students emotion regulation, to teach them that it is okay if you have no idea how the best seat in Canter is, that it is okay if you have no idea how the aids are to ask your horse for shoulder in or to make your horse trot. That's the reason why they are paying me, right? That's the reason why they are asking me for lessons. And in the reverse, I am wishing from my students that when I'm saying your horse is lame or your horse is showing a subtle lameness, let's have a look at that, that they don't feel personally hurt, but that we can just say, oh yeah, oh yeah, I haven't seen it, but good that you can see it. Then we can frame that early. And I'm wishing for cooperation from veterinarians and trainers that is going in both directions. I'm having a few rehab cases where I'm doing that very, very regularly, that I'm calling the vet hospital or calling the veterinarian that is on the case. And then we take a coffee together and half an hour together and say, okay, how shall we continue from here? What have you found in your examination? What have you spectated? Whatever I watched in my training. What has the student been telling me? So we need this at least triangle. If there's more horse professionals involved, like a hoof trimmer or like a physiotherapist or something, or a nutritionalist, we need to open that room that we are all pulling together in one direction. And I would wish for a sport that is leading by example, that is showing that by example, and that is normalizing it also to say, I have done a mistake. I have done a mistake here and I've learned something from that. I hope at least you have learned something from it. Because from my perspective, I would hope that then we wouldn't see scenes like that anymore because we can much earlier say, oh, that was wrong. Maybe I need to try something else. And it has nothing to do with my qualification as a rider or as a trainer. If I can make this horse do something, if I can solve the problem, and I am asking my students, especially in the masterclass now, I'm asking them very, very often to change their perspective. Instead of looking at a case and looking at how can I make that disappear? I want them to look at the case and say, "Oh, this is interesting. Let's collect the information we are getting from this interesting behavior." And the interesting behavior can be everything. The interesting behavior can be the horse doesn't want to get tacked up, the horse has a problem in canter, the horse is protecting something, and then the question is always, what is the horse protecting and why does the horse need to protect that? Why did this poor horse in the video not lift the hind legs sufficiently, or why didn't it collect and bend sufficiently enough? That would be the interesting question to ask. The question is not how often do I have to hit it with a whip, more or less politely, to make it bend the hind legs and to collect more. Yeah, that's not the question. And I would really, 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 really wish that we have more professionals who are taking a course in gait analysis, and we have more professionals who are also seeing that just because we are saying this is a collected canter, it is still abnormal if it is a forebeat or if it is lateralized or if it is I don't know what, you know, fill in the blank. Very often we can just fill in the blank because there are so many justifications out there. There's so many justifications out there why a horse is not doing something. Why we need to do this or that in training, even if we obviously see that the stress level is rising, and then it doesn't matter anymore in which discipline we are looking at. If we don't manage to create this humanity, this friendliness among us trainers, us riders, the openness for communication, I don't see how we can change something for the horse world. And now everybody is shouting at the FAE, and everybody is shouting at Charlotte, and everybody is, I don't know what. And I actually think this is a joke. It's a joke. Go out there in front of the door, start with your own pony, and go out there and try to change something for the better. Buy a ticket for the summit, educate yourself about pain. Go out there and make a ration calculation for your horse. Go out there and learn about obesity. Go out there, learn about hidden lamenesses, and go out there and be an advocate for the horse and be an advocate for your fellow riders also in the stable. Be there for co-regulation. If you see that somebody is getting stressed or having a bad day, don't tell them what they are doing wrong. Ask them if you can help. Maybe try to offer a cup of coffee and say, "Hey, what do you think? It appears that you are having a hard day. What do you think? Let's have a cup of coffee first before we go out with the horses." That is often already changing the world, not only for this horse, but also for this human. And then, in very best case, pass on the kindness. And in this sense, I will go out to my own horses now and kiss their nose and tell them I'm very happy that they are still on vacation, because always in July, I also really, really need this break. I love my horses to pieces, and then I need a break from them. So, in this sense, all of us go out there and try to be, just a good average human. See you soon.